Let's just do this then. This is. Do you know what's happening?
No.
Do you know what's happening?
I'm not sure what's happening.
This is. We've done 68 episodes. This is going to be my favourite already.
68. It is. It's already my favourite. We've only just started
because
recording.
We've managed to get Adam on. Adam owns and operates the wonderful Analoca Vegan Cafe, Vegan Vegetarian Cafe, and we're absolutely so buzzed to actually chat.
We've been looking forward to this for a while. In celebration of you coming on.
In celebration of
yeah,
that.
We've got a brand new sponsor this week.
Just for this week especially.
Gary's Kids Camps.
Self-defense. It might be important. I don't know.
It's important. It's where you go to, you know, for your kid to learn how to defend themselves. So, a noble cause. Let's listen.
I don't know what to start with that.
Okay. All right. Let's
try and move on. Gary's Kids Camps. To be honest with you, we've actually been chatting
for about an hour solid, like beyond this, because like our guest today is lovely Adam, and we've just been chatting about football, but mostly about football and life in general.
Life,
definitely.
Society.
Is what I'm interested in, first of all. Obviously, we've chatted a lot previously just now, but how do you think you start a movement?
How do you start a movement?
Yeah.
Well,
How's it begun for you?
How's it begun for me? I guess, you know, philosophically, spiritually, it's what put me on a path. And look to the man who brought the Krishna Consciousness Society to the West in the 60s, how he started a movement. He just got on a boat with a trunk of books at the age of 70, took a ship from India to the US, didn't know if to go left or right, had the equivalent of 50 cents in his pocket, and that's how he began a movement. So tried to take a little inspiration from him, but got a long way to go.
So do you think it comes from like a sort of almost stoic mentality of like, okay, well, this is who we are, and it's about the self and what you put out in the world, and you are being aware of what you actually stand behind and put your efforts into?
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, people become empowered, I think, you know, when they really believe in a cause, when they've got something they want to say to the world, then they can, you know, connect and really, you know, draw in from that energy and really sort of push on and do incredible things, as we see quite often, you know.
So for people starting their own projects, their passion projects, their labours of love, what would you say to them?
Don't do it now, just
don't even
stay in bed. No, I'm just kidding. I think, you know, you've got to prepare yourself for hard work, believe in what you're going to do, really take advice and listen to your peers, never be afraid to change and adapt to whatever things, challenges life brings, and obviously whatever it is that you're putting your mind to. And yeah, you know, keep that desire, push forward, and great things can be achieved.
There's a big, I find, you know, positive thinking and things of that nature, you know, there seems to be more of an awareness of these things now as well. You know, you see it a lot in podcasts, and it's talked, you know, in the grand scheme of like mental health, and it's that bringing that positivity.
It's all interconnected.
Yeah,
everything is all there.
And you meet people when they talk about things like that, you tend to find, you're like, oh, I'm going to get on with you a little bit. Do you know what I mean? It's that same thing. It's that little bit of community that everybody has. And the vegan community, you know, I've seen a big last few years. It's
really
got
grown, yeah.
Really big. You know, it's gone past the sort of start of it when Lisa Simpson turned vegan on The Simpsons. There was a spike of a vegan movement there.
I think especially in Cardiff.
Like Cardiff's got Cardiff really, scene. Yeah, I mean, yourselves, you know, the first vegan restaurant, you know,
yeah.
And it's 2015.
August 2015,
yeah.
It's when the little place opened.
That was before this seemed to, you know, this movement has picked up recently, and you were already doing it. You're like already there. It's like, we've been here for years doing
this.
Yeah,
we really got in at the right time, I think, you know. I mean, when I managed Cafe Atma at the time, we were pure vegetarian, but myself and Radhi Kesh, who used to manage it with me, we really we were pushing the vegan flag, you know. Mm. We had both had gone vegan ourselves.
It was on City Road, right?
Cruise Road. And we were like experimenting, making all crazy cakes and delicious savouries, and you know, we put it out there on social media, and even like social media marketing wasn't, you know, it hadn't really exploded at that time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we were just seeing such an influx of people just coming specifically to us just to try our vegan cakes, and particularly the cakes. And yeah, I mean, obviously I was doing something different, and I was living in an ashram at the time, and that was my service, the managed cafe at. And I was never going to stay there permanently. And I think, once I was ready to get back into business, because I used to own a couple of bakeries. I don't know if you've had Welsh cakes in Cardiff Market.
Yeah,
that's definitely. My old man, that is. And I used to have a few of those in the valleys. And
nice, man. So it was from the market in town, yeah?
Yeah, Cardiff Market. I was in Aberdeen.
An institution now, isn't it?
It is, yeah. My sister's up in Traigle Mills at the moment, and brother-in-law's in Merthyr, and mate of mine bought one off my dad. He's in Aberdeen, which was my original one. That's obviously where my business background has come from and stemmed from. But when I was ready to obviously get back into business, it just seemed like the right thing to do at the right time, really. And thankfully, it's really taken off with someone.
Yeah, it's
got,
amazing.
Like, a little following, like, you know, it's nice.
Oh, it's huge. It's just great. It's great to have in Cardiff. But on the whole, on a bigger aspect of that, like we were saying, it's become mainstream now to look after your health, mental health, as well as your physical health, as well as your dietary requirements. And it's just people seem to like really wake up to the fact that it is so beneficial for you in order to do that. And lots of top athletes are going that way furthermore.
Yeah, lots of
it.
Even practices of yoga and things like that, you know. And then from all that, the other side of looking after yourself, which you wouldn't hear about, like sort of cryogenics and things like that. They all seem to be coming from the same place, like natural source. It's like the Joe Rogan source. It's just like everyone's
that's huge. Yeah, that's how
it seems to be worldwide.
That's how things actually happen, you know. It's like it makes sense to do. There's people in higher positions who it clearly shows how beneficial those things are to you, and like it radiates around you with the people who you hang out with as well. I think it's a huge thing. So when it comes to, like, I think more needs to be done. Like, I think there's a lot of sports personalities who are flying the flag a lot more, and it is
some of them are actually really surprising. Like in researching for this show, we both searched vegan footballers.
Do you know quite a few
footballers?
Actually,
footballers.
No,
I don't know.
No. Right, I was surprised. Like, because I researched it, and as I was going through the list again today, I was just like, some of them, which borderline, I couldn't work out if they were vegan or if they just were talking about it benefiting them during the season and then during the off season. So it was like Messi's listed as vegan.
No way.
But I couldn't work out.
Good,
I couldn't work out if that was them saying he uses a vegan diet for performance,
right?
But he's got he's an omnivore overall. I couldn't work it out. But Messi is being listed as vegan.
Wow,
which is massive. You've also got Sergio Aguero is vegan.
Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, and he's got both of them are Argentinian. There's a massive meat culture in Argentina.
Yeah, exactly.
In South
all
America,
steak comes from there, doesn't it? You know?
Messi and Aguero are both vegan. It's just like, okay.
I never would have expected that.
If I said to my nan and my mother-in-law, who still worry about me and my diet, where are you getting your B12 from? Leave me alone. I got it covered. They would, if I said to them, I played them Lionel Messi, and look how good he is. They would both be like, he drinks his milk, doesn't he? you could tell he eats chicken. Like, vegan. They're two of the best sportsmen in the world.
Yeah.
Vegan.
Yeah, it's crazy. The MMA fighters now have gone vegan as well.
Yeah, the two, the Diaz brothers being the two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Nick Diaz still just, you know, he's been promoting vegan lifestyle for 10 years, 12 years. He's a professional fighter.
And that's at that stage. That's the biggest stages you can be at, and to maintain that consistently.
There's no, you know, training three times a day.
And one of the Premier League rugby teams, English Premier League rugby teams, I listened to them on Five Live the other day, and they said quite a few of their players are going towards a vegan diet now, and you're talking about, you know, these are guys are units, like, do you know what I mean? And
it shows that you can do it. It's that old thing. Yeah. It's that old thing of when people say the first thing, where'd you get your protein from? I think literally the first thing they say.
I do think it's the rise of supplements as well, like supplement the supplement game, as well as everything else.
Vegan wise, you know,
and smoothies.
And smoothies.
Good for smoothie sales.
Yeah, good for smoothie sales.
And it's so easy these days, isn't it? With supermarkets, they've all got their vegan lines as well.
Everything.
Now, you know, so.
I was shocked when I went into Iceland.
Wicked.
And the amount of other supermarket chains are available. But when I went into Iceland, the amazing range that they now have.
They've got a whole freezer just stacked full of vegan products.
And I was like, are we in the right place? Yeah, I couldn't imagine that happening a few years ago. It's incredible. Another one.
Do you know of an Arsenal player called Hector Bellerin?
Yeah.
No, he's off my radar, I've got to be honest.
So he is, I'd say he's a style icon.
He is a style icon. We will show you a picture of Hector Bellerin. He plays right back for Arsenal. We love him. We're a huge fan of him.
He's got lovely hair.
He's got very long hair and a moustache. And he wears fashionable clothes. He's an odd character. Fully vegan. When you sent me that, that was the one I was like, yeah, I'm not surprised. If you see a picture of him, you would even go, he's a vegan.
But he does very well in terms of getting it across, because the younger generation coming through, and to see icons
in the
game.
Do you
want to
hear what Hector Bellerin said about being vegan? Yes, I've got the quote here because I liked it. It says, at the beginning, I wanted to try it for a couple of weeks to detox my body. But I felt so great. After that, I've been doing it for more than 6 months now. And he's kept that up. And that was 4 years ago.
Wow.
He said, I'll do it for a few weeks. Clean my body out. And he said, in those 2 weeks, I've never felt better.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So now I'm vegan permanently.
Well, you look at a human body, you know. I mean, the intestinal tract is like 18 times longer than that of a carnivore's, you know. Carnivore's meat comes in, meat goes out. You know, you look at it like tigers and lions. And then you look at a human being, you know, want to absorb all the nutrition of all that vegetables, you know. So, you know, it just takes its time getting down, you know. So, it just seems like if you really, you know, look at things and educate yourself, then the knowledge is out there.
Now more than ever, I think it's so useful to be able to have that at our fingertips. But the other thing is the rise of the influencer, and it's the rise of those players with the power and the followers that they've got. So the implication, I said, with someone looking at that, and if they've got, you know, 1, 2, 3 million followers or whatever, the implication is absolutely
massive.
Huge.
And it's amazing, I think, in football, because, you know, you know, I don't want to generalise, but a typical football fan, you know, he's out having a few pints, burger and a pie on the way to the stadium. You know, I mean, I used to be like that, but you know, when you see footballers, you know, pushing the vegan flag and flying the vegan flag, I think, you know, there'll be a lot of people out there that's going to take note.
We've also got one of our own, haven't we, from these parts as well, Pritchard.
Yes, absolute legend, taking veganism mainstream.
It's huge.
His Dirty Vegan TV show.
Avant-garde vegan
really
as well.
Good.
So good, yeah, because it adds a bit of his...
There might be someone
his
on
comedy
there.
In there.
Isn't there someone coming?
What's going on, Ed?
I know a friend of mine, Andy and Sarah, they're on tonight's episode on Dirty Vegan from Naturally Kind, and next week will be myself and Jan and Anna Loka featuring on Dirty Vegan with Matt, who's he's absolute legend for what he's doing. I think
he's amazing,
huge.
He's doing so well.
I mean, he's been on so many, you know, BBC Morning program, and I think he was on Five Live as well. And he's really, really, you know, the mainstream are taking note now, which is fantastic. And someone who's lived such, you know, a bipolar lifestyle from going from absolute craziness to fitness freak, and
it also shows you the power of the mind as well, doesn't it? And like the effort that he's put in to do all those great things that he's done to really put it into his body. It's just
terrible. I heard
the
story.
The power of controlling your mind as well. I think
just unlocking.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've got a little bit of insight here. I heard the story about you and Pritchard from a mutual friend of ours. he told me. He said, when you speak to him, make sure you ask him about what he did during Pritchard's triathlon, at all the marathon that he did, the 30 marathons, was it that he did?
30 Ironmans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that you were in charge of his nutritional.
We just, obviously, you know, it's such a challenge, I think, to do one half Ironman.
Yeah.
And to do him 30 consecutive days, obviously.
That is unreal.
The mind's going to kick in, it's going to start screaming, and then, you know, I think when you want someone to achieve that challenge, you want to try and make their life as simplistic as possible, you know, and to make sure that obviously one of the things is obviously eating. After doing that, you don't want to go home and cook, do you? Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, we had a little thing with Jeff, and we sat down and worked out how we can best support him. And yeah, he came into Analoga every day for 30 days, and after straight after his Ironman, we'd feed him up, make sure he had everything he needed, and yeah, just try to help him get through that challenge, which he successfully completed.
Nice.
Another one.
Yeah. Jermaine Defoe, taking about the footballers. Jermaine Defoe's quite, you know, he was sponsored by Corn. I think he still is, actually, Jermaine Defoe. He did the Corn advert. Alex Morgan, who female player, plays for the United States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She became vegan at the end of 2017 and has stuck with it. One of my favourites was Perez, Boca Juniors midfielder. He went vegan in start of 2018. And he said, the world belongs to, to me, the world belongs to all living beings. That's the reason for my decision and the respect I have for animals. And I was, he's the only one on this list that I could find who decided to turn vegan because he was like, I don't want to hurt
that
animal.
For that,
for that reason. Everyone else has health benefits, but he says, I just didn't want animals to suffer.
Yeah, and I think everyone, you know, people call themselves spiritual, you know, and they still eat an omnivore diet. I mean, how can you... You know, be spiritual and connected, and connect with all life. And you know, you're happy to.
But a nation of animal lovers, generally.
Exactly.
So it's just like,
you ask any child, you know, they just want to love and pet an animal, don't they?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
But, are you aware of the work that Forest Green Rovers do?
Forest Green Rovers,
no.
Have
you heard of them?
Enlighten me.
They're owned by a green company called Ecotricity. Their owner, Dale Vince, he owns that company. He bought Forest Green Rovers and he turned the club vegan, 100% vegan.
No way.
They're the world's first 100% vegan club. They made the switch in 2015.
Yeah.
They installed solar panels, so they're fully self-sufficient as well. They banned all plastics from the stadium in 2015.
Yeah.
And then they said, right, all the players are being switched to a vegan diet. And we'll only sell vegan food in the ground.
That's amazing. They're setting the standard, aren't they?
Now, you see like how far the implication of that and how far that actually travels through. Like a community. Like we are all like football fans and sport fans generally because we're aware that it mimics life. But when there's something like that, it's an institution in the right way, in a progressive way, rather than have Coca-Cola, have this, have that, have a pie, Peter's pie, whatever, do that. It just takes it in that direction.
You want to go and support them, though, don't
you? Yeah, well, you can go...
just part of it, though, isn't it? That's to create a movement, what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
You build that, and they're like little communities in themselves, which you can actually relate to. St. Pauli is the same, like, they've got their ethics about them.
Yeah, St. Pauli Germany.
In Germany, it's that way. It's like, well, I like that.
Yeah.
I am going
to
support
to it.
You.
Yeah, it's really good. I believe at one point as well, you could buy kombucha at half time, which I thought amazing.
I'll have to supply with my kombucha. My brand's launching in 3 months. So.
Oh,
amazing.
Sweet. Yeah, yeah. Kombucha's going to be huge.
Watch this
man.
Space.
I love kombucha.
It's called Prana, and it's got these beautiful succulent coloured lips on as the brand, you know. So,
nice.
Prana,
Prana, yes.
We'll both be checking that out. We both
bring
a lot of kombucha.
Anyway,
kombucha revolution.
Yeah.
I love them. I just think they're amazing. I think Forest Green Rovers are superb. You know, you just connect to them, and everyone else has. To the point where their shirts sell very well online.
I can imagine,
No
That's
one,
how movement starts.
People who don't even know where it is have bought their shirts.
Yeah, because it's probably organic cotton or, you know, fair trade cotton or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Instead of the machines which just produce and overproduce and so they make you buy the shirts.
Little kids in China or whatever produce all the
The other aspect is everything's got a cost.
Yeah.
Everything we consume comes at a cost.
Exactly.
And I think people are waking up to that very slowly over time, and they're realizing that everything that's consumed, it's not
has an
just,
impact.
It's
yeah,
not,
it does.
It's not just clothes or anything, because people are, you know, they're aware that they want to do good, but then they go into those routines again. It's the same like with their diet. Do you want to actually live longer? Do you care for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the cost of this, and if you do this, then you might help. So everything, there's behind the scenes to everything. Once people wake up to that, I think it's going to be enlightening in itself.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Forest Green Rovers is all it takes, like we were chatting beforehand about just starting something, it won't take long for something, say like a vegan fast food chain, like we were talking about the Temple of Satan or wherever else, to actually mimic something and go nationwide and then go global. I think that's just, we're right on the cusp of that.
Because
all it takes is, like, you know, if, say, KFC did a little vegan brand, like a vegan option, and it's very similar in texture, then the implication of that is absolutely huge.
I was in London recently and I went to Box Park in Croydon. So arguably the most in-trend area of the whole, you know, United Kingdom. Box Park, Croydon. I was wandering around just like, I'm fitting you. Everyone looks better than me.
Did you get given a nod?
It was that. So I had to buy it. I had to literally buy a jacket. So I was like, I want to look more. I need to look like I'm from Croydon more than I do. And I bought a long trench coat and it works. But I was there, and I went to Box Park, and I went. There's a cool app that you go on in Box Park, and it's got, you know, VR, so you can direct yourself to where you want to go. So it's an interactive map, and they're just shipping containers, and they've got units inside each one. And I had, out of I think about 70 units, I had about 19 different options for vegan food.
Wow.
In a small space.
Yeah.
Because they're just shipping containers. So imagine all them stacked on each other.
Yeah, like a little village. I've seen that. I like that.
It's and really all indies good. In there
and they get funded.
Yeah, they're all independent companies. There's no chains. And in there, I had a vegan doner kebab. And I was like, what world am I living in? But this is mental.
Spectacular.
Yeah, it was just, this is brilliant. Yeah. This is, and I was surrounded by all these people who were young and they looked cool, and you thought, these people are going to be the future that I'm looking at now. Yeah. They're all, you know, 15 years younger than me. And they're all vegan.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just, like, when I look and I think, and I my, with my pessimist eyes on, I think, what's the world going to be like in 15 years? What world have I brought two children into? And then I see all of those and I'm like, oh man, don't worry about it. All the Trumps in the world, they're not going to be here that much longer.
Everything's going to be all
right. They're not going to be here that much longer, that generation. Don't worry about it, because the next generation is cool as hell. They're all vegan.
And then you get outside and then you're like, oh.
Yeah, and then I get outside and I look and I see Burger King and I'm like, oh, nearly.
It's funny you mention the indies, though, because a friend of mine went to a business meetup thing, you know, and I can't remember, it was one of the ex-Olympic champions or something. She was doing a presentation in Cardiff and she was saying the one thing they've noticed with the food trend is that actually people don't want chains anymore. People don't, they want independence.
It's previous, you know, like yourselves. Like a lot of, you know, previous guests that we've had on, you know, Handlebar Barista. You've got the Grazing Shed, who started their own, you know, when we had Adam on from the Grazing Shed, they said going into a burger bar and having four different options to eat. Yeah. For me, I was like, that's exceptional. And he was like, be sick soon. I was just like, that is mad. And our milky, beloved Milky,
like,
as well.
Hardlines, you've got like Blanche. Ripple. Yeah,
Blanche Bakery, and my our beloved Big Moose Coffee.
Yeah,
you know, it's Big they. Moose. It's there's this hub in Cardiff, it and is. You're a massive part of it. You could, I would argue that you started it. I would quite.
I think it was a few before us, but it's nice to be a big part of.
I think that what's going on it, there, that's yeah. that's the you're the big bang in this. You know, you have started the ripple. You know.
No, it's been actually the last few years have been nice. I think, you know, we've seen all these great places popping up, like you mentioned a good few of them there, and just hope it continues. You know, see a lot of these chains fall. Unfortunately,
it's good. I'm watching. You know, I'm taking my daughters into all these places and just, this is what you do. You don't go to these chain restaurants. You don't.
Yeah.
My children have had McDonald's once in their life and it was when I wasn't with them and they threw up, both of them, and they refused to eat takeaway food.
Oh, that was the best thing you could have done for them.
Yeah, and it's unreal. It's just like... But
kept the Happy Meal toy.
Yeah, and they're... obviously, they're not mugs. And yeah, they now are watching this community happen. And because of social media, with Instagram, my eldest, who's going to be a teenager soon, we've allowed her to have an Instagram account, but it's private and you can't accept people unless you ask us and things like that. We've been careful. She has chosen to follow Ripple and Sophie from Ripple and Chloe from Big Moose and all of these people. She's not following Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
She's and looking up to him. She's looking up to Sophie from Ripple. I mean, like, that's what I want to be.
That's amazing.
And it's and watching that as a dad of a teenage girl and thinking, oh my God, the things teenagers get up to. She's a spider. She's reading about, you know, Mandela and things. And it's
it's also a case of
it's like, incredible.
That's inspiring to you, actually. It's, you know, you're doing a really great job there.
Real. And my, and the little one as well, you know, she's they're just
Sydney's boss.
They're such a good product of their environment. And it's been they've been brought up around, and I genuinely think they're being brought up. My daughter has never can't remember me eating meat or anything like that and stuff like that. And it's
I think it's that thing of your vibe attracts your tribe though, completely. Yeah.
Like definitely.
It's a feature in Lonely Planet, but that's exactly the type of like mind that you love to like. That's your market, you know. Like that's it. Like anyone, that's the first thing I do when I go somewhere. Like I used to like generally go travel to suss out vegetarian or vegan places.
Yeah,
that's what I used to. I used to go there. That's the first thing. I'm like, right, okay, I'm here. This is the place I want to go. I want to go to places because of where the food is.
And people do. I think that's a massive part of
it. Yeah,
people book holidays and go in to visit vegan places. Have you been to Tel Aviv?
No, I haven't.
Oh man, if you like vegan food,
Seriously.
Tel Aviv, they fly.
Tell you where it is very big. I went
70 vegan restaurants.
Wow.
Sorry.
Well, actually, Tel Aviv. We went to I went to Cape Town a few years back, and I literally just went into Shark Dive. So that's what we flew in. We flew in. We were there.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
What? No? Okay. Right. Why do you think we actually like watching football? Like, what is it? Why do you like it?
For me, I think it's community. A lot of it, you know. I think one of the things we see around mental health and stuff is that, you know, there's a big disconnect with people and relationships. And I think, you know, going to the football with your mates, you know, you feel part of that community and buying into your team and stuff.
Yeah.
Also, it's a beautiful game to watch, isn't it?
It is a beautiful game. I had one of those moments today, weirdly, where I have these moments every now and again where I watch football and it's almost as if I can't be any happier right now. There's those moments. It doesn't happen every game, but sometimes you get that bit. Like watching the biggest one that I can think of is the Juventus-Barcelona semi-final.
That was good.
Where Barca had to score and Juventus just went, not today. You're not doing that today. It was the most fascinating 0-0 I've ever seen in my life. But there was a moment today, because have you seen Pavard, the French right back who scored the absolute blinder in the World Cup against Argentina, I believe it was. He's signing for Bayern Munich. He played a pass last night from the corner flag, pretty much. He moves a bit forward into the opposition box. One hit of the ball along the ground. It wasn't in the air. He saw a gap. The ball goes through eight different players.
Just pinged it
to reach where it needed to be. From pretty much corner flag to. I watched it, honestly, about 50 times, because I was just like, how has he hit the ball so sweetly and at the perfect angle and at the perfect speed to go through eight people who were all running? How has he done it? And I was just like, that's football is beautiful.
I've been trying to get to like the essence of it. And like, it is like all working together. I love that fact. I love the communication. I love pushing each other in their own certain ways. You know, you've got a task.
Yeah.
You've got a task. Everyone can do that. I love that. Mm-hmm. And then the human error and chaos in between. So anything can happen. Like, our brains are so like insane of just snap judgment and snap moves. Mm-hmm. So when it's disciplined in that respect and the creativity to come from a move which absolutely pulls up, like comes off like a pass or a shot or a save or a tackle, it's just like, wow, okay. And it's pushing the human body and it's pushing sport. It's pushing it to another level. Like, that's why I think we all enjoy sport, because it's like, okay, we see a progression and we see a progression and we see a progression.
Mm.
But like, when it's broken down, I think there's players that we actually like relate to on a human basis. It can be looked at when, say, a striker scores a goal. So when a striker scores a goal, like, I'm fascinated by body language. So you've got those players who take all the credit, yeah. and just like boss it. We all know the play, like that type of player, right? We know the Ronaldo-esque sort of player. Yeah, I'm Ronaldo. Great. This is wonderful. Yes, I am.
Yeah, Sunderland.
This is it. Yeah, you got that. So you've got that type of player, but then there's the other one who I think we'd all want on our team is the ones who celebrate within the tribe, within the team, and yeah. sort of give everyone a pat on the back. It was just like, yeah, I had a part in it, but it was a whole team movement. Yeah. I think they're the type of teams that we look for, because I think that's what makes it a bit more human. There's the showman, yeah. obviously, who can do at that level, but how far does that actually go? I think that's one of the reasons why people like Messi over Ronaldo.
I prefer Messi over Ronaldo.
Is it people attracted to humility?
I think,
you know?
And kindness and humility go so far. Yeah. And I think, on that level, I think, like, Ronaldo could be the greatest, brilliant player ever. Apart from that, like, when you've got Messi doing the things he does, but it with humility, I think there's a human conscious in there.
Do you know what I think the problem is, as well, with that? Because I think we're extremely fortunate to live in a time when the two greatest players to ever play the sport happen to be doing it together at the highest level. It's like this.
I just get overwhelmed with life in general, but then there's these amazing people that are around, like not only players, but in the world. You're just like, wow, we live in the best time. This is the best time to be alive right now.
Like, well, it's that old thing, of, you know, when you were younger and when you said, oh, I wonder what the future will be like. Well, we're in it. We're in it now. This is the future that we were like, what will the future be like? This. And it's...
And your kids are thinking that right now as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's... And it's... within football, there seems to be this element of people like that. Like, my favourite player ever is Xavi. Ever. He's the greatest footballer I've ever seen. Me and Adam from the Grazing Shed had a discussion because he
doesn't...
On the,
it was like 3 hours. They just zoned in there like blinking. It was insane.
They didn't... he doesn't rate Xavi as much. Genuinely, it's a two-hour conversation.
That's unbelievable.
Because I was just like,
Roy
what do you mean?
All the way for me.
Why do you mean? And yeah, because Roy Keane was, again, it's that...
He's another character as well as grit and determination. I think it's like... That might be our working class chip on our shoulder, boys. I think what that possibly is. Someone who's just gripped it and it's just calls it out. He'll call anyone out, and it's just. I think that's deep within that Nottingham Forest mentality of like going down and seeing the workers working in the factories, like taking the players down and being like they're who you need to perform for.
Yeah,
you know, it's that like. For the people sort of mentality.
Yeah.
Can I say this about why Ronaldo is not liked as well as Messi?
Of course you can.
It comes back to, in my belief, and I say this, everyone knows I'm a Man United fan, but nobody cheers for Man City that's neutral. No one. But people who are neutral cheer for Liverpool. Mm-hmm. They're seen in different lights. Real Madrid and Barcelona are seen in those same two lights. Real Madrid is seen as the wealthy club that buy anything they want. I genuinely don't know many neutral fans who support another team from outside of Spain who go, I love Real Madrid as a club. They go, oh, they're great to watch, but they're a business on a pitch. Barcelona are seen as an institution, that mesquite club, you know, it's more than a club, but it's that philosophy.
It's that community again, isn't it? Mm. The whole, you know,
you've also got Barcelona,
Barcelona,
the Catalan versus Spanish national, you know, as well. Madrid are seen as the capital of Spain and they're rich. And I think Ronaldo, because of the way that he is, he's aligned with that. And the club that I support, Manchester United, we're another one that not many people who are neutral support us. Mm. No one wants to...
I don't know.
No, we're not.
Really?
Yeah, we're not. I'd argue that we're the worst in England. People don't... Because of Man United's success, they don't want to see them win anymore.
But why?
They're
that
quite enjoying the suffering.
Though?
Because Liverpool and now, we're Manchester United. We're in 92. They've been nearly 30 years without a league title. Mm. In 92, loads of people wanted Man United to win the title. Loads of people. When we won the first Premier League, 92, 93, we won it and everyone celebrated it. After you do it 13 times, people go, not these again. It's why I cheered at Wile E. Coyote to always eat the Roadrunner. Do you know what I mean? I want that.
We all want the underdog, don't we?
Yeah, Liverpool are there now. Man City aren't. And Real Madrid are seen with that. And I think the player Ronaldo is, he has almost been seen as the archetypal Real Madrid player. The look at me, look how good I am. No one, I genuinely don't think a lot of people want him to succeed.
I think it genuinely makes us human and watching things like that and pushing peak performers like that. But then I overthink things and think, could everything on the pitch be predestined, or could it be that thing of like, is chaos theory, is everyone, is a trigger of something happening, you kick the pants you're given, and it's just like that. And I just go flip-flop in between, like, what in essence is it? And I all I can get to is, it's a, if you strip it all back as a hunting game, it's like football or hockey, like ice hockey. You're trying to hit something in a target, right? So then it's just like, okay, well, that would make sense, working as a tribe, being like all together to go for the end goal of scoring the goal, hitting the target to like to get better. So I can't strip it back any further than that. And I think about things too much. But then I think, well, we're in this time, we're in this age where technology is here. Like, when VAR kicks in, that will have an element on the game, and that'll annoy people because of human error in referees' decisions and throwing up the structure of the actual game itself.
Yeah.
Are you for VAR coming in on the whole?
Nah, I mean, you know, we need talking points, and referees' decisions always talking points.
Yeah, because it's that element of... Because I can see both sides of the argument of VAR, because I think at the minute people are still saying, oh, VAR got that one right, and it's that Mitch said it months ago. Mitch said, VAR isn't making a decision. All it's doing is replaying fact.
Yeah.
So it's... He was like, all VAR is... And they keep saying, oh, VAR got that wrong. No, that's impossible. VAR is not a thing.
It is set up to for that exact reason.
All you're doing is pressing rewinds.
Yeah. Unless it's a crooked system and it's clearly out of sync, or there's a bug in the machine, then that is not what is there. It's there to exactly to get
just
that
show
out.
Exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it works well in rugby because it's a stop-start game. You've got scrums, you've got, you know, line-outs where they actually physically stop, whereas football, it's supposed to be a fluid game, it's smooth, you know.
Do you think you'd be a good ref?
Me?
Yeah.
No. I'll be as biased as they can.
Move on.
Yeah. It's this.
Obviously, those 2-footed challenges.
It's not. There's a few. It's, VAR is coming in. My problem with it is not what it is, it's how it's applied currently.
Mm.
It's not in other countries where it's been used for longer. It works fine. It works fine, no problem. You wouldn't ever know. If you went to the MLS and watched it, you barely know. There was one recently where it was actually like 9 minutes of play because the goal broke. And then there was a VAR, and it was 9 minutes in a row, and all the fans were like, it's 10 minutes nearly.
Nine
yeah.
minutes. Game. Oh, I see. That's not what football's about.
No,
for me.
But as soon as it comes here, it will get
quicker.
Like, we've seen that we've...
You're for VAR?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, totally.
I would...
Like,
I'm a purist.
Yeah, but like, if I'm
in the middle because I can see both sides of the argument. I know it's coming in, and I just don't like the application. But in the World Cup final, when VAR was used, the biggest game in the football calendar ever. There's no game bigger than the World Cup final. VAR worked, and it was out for about, I think it worked out, it was 2.5 minutes or something. Mm. You know, and they streamlined it in a matter of weeks. At the world's biggest football tour. If the Premier League put that much behind it and went, right, we're going to go full board now with this.
Mm.
This is what's happening. You need to get it right. And all the training and all the money went in.
But the World Cup was...
Give it half a season.
That's
and it
the
would
first
work.
Process of that actually happening, what
we
witnessed
we
last
before,
year.
At the minute, the way the FA were talking about it and the Premier League decided, the Premier League were basically saying, this system is good enough for the World Cup final... But it's not good enough for, you know, Brighton versus Burnley. It's like, what? Yeah. What do you mean? It's got to work. You're just not trained enough.
Mm.
That's all it is. You need to learn more skills, like those refs did.
I think it's such a big business now, football, isn't it? I mean, I think that's one of the main reasons it's coming in because, you know, teams can't afford to have these decisions to go against them. Like, you know,
where do you see things happening going in the future then with, like, diets and business and sport in general?
Well, I think...
Big question.
Yeah, it is.
Is that the new jingle? Alex, big question.
Large question.
Savage question.
Because diets are going to have to get better. I think people's awareness will improve about everything that's around there. People navigate towards like a good, healthy state of mind, which they should do, and realise that humans are probably supposed to be unhappy most of the time and just appreciate all the things that you've got. And when it comes to sport, I think there'll be more money coming in off like franchises. I just hope that there's a crossover of like good causes which are showing use rather than the money turnover, you know, because if there's a balance between business and charity or something useful to progress, that's where I'd love to see things going.
This well, when you started about Forest Green, like that's such inspiring, I think. And
it's brilliant.
If we see, you
we
know,
could
the,
do
the
that
success.
On like a Sunday league team. Here.
Yeah.
How good
there's
would
also
that be?
There's elements of it coming in at bigger clubs with certain gestures like Juventus's third strip this season and Manchester United's away kit.
Yeah, the recycled.
Are made 100% from ocean plastics.
Wow.
So I hope those continue rather than just wheeled
so think
out.
Of how
yeah,
big
we don't want to see a fad, do we? And we don't want to see people exploiting these
it's
situations.
It's like the thing is the same, like the, it was the year of 2008 was single use, wasn't it? That was voted the phrase of the year, single use.
Yeah. And we can see why though, can't we? You know,
yeah, you see exactly what.
And off that, it goes from here and then you find different ways of getting around those things to for the greater good. So I think it's great when that.
I think we'll definitely see, you know, more sporting teams definitely adopting more, you know, vegan and vegetarian diets.
Oh, hopefully that would be
business.
That would be
hopefully independence all the way. You know, we'll see the rise of the independents.
It would be ideal.
Because they are the backbone of British
forever.
Business.
He's got all brave art now.
Just keen on independence. All right, that's it then. The end.
That is it. That's the end.
Well, we've been chatting for hours, so I don't really mind this.
Yeah, we've been a while. This is, coming in over 2 hours now, just chatting.
Big love to Anna Locker.
Yeah, we will be back, really, and thank you very much for coming on.
It's been a real pleasure. Like,
I've really enjoyed this one.
It's been really good. It's been really good.
Met some new friends, and
it's been really good.
Shot the shit, and it's always great. Like,
yeah.
We'll see you for the live show on the 30th.
Definitely, I'll be there.
Come on,
all
on,
of you.
Bells on. How can I get tickets for that?
How can we get tickets? Right, you see us on the night. You can.
It better be for a good
get
cause.
Get on Eventbrite.
Is it for a good cause?
The 30th of January, we're taking this live. Adam is now aware of how lucid this is, and how we just turn up, start chatting, and
that's
people
not,
record us doing it.
No.
We're quite relaxed. You get to see this live. It's like, I don't know how it's going to work.
For a good cause, all right?
It's for a great cause. It's £5 to enter, five aside. No more than five in a team. Stop turning up with 10 people or anything, all right? £5. All the money goes to Big Moose.
So we're going
to
have Mitch, who's going to be the quiz master.
Quizmaster Mitch, who's not here. He's had an autograph signing.
He's going to love that. And then we will just be figuring out to do a live ramble.
Like, we've got to do a live podcast and
live podcast
quiz.
/ quiz / anything else in between.
All money going to Big Moose.
It's a collection of great minds.
When is it?
It's on the 30th of January.
It's on
this 30th year,
of January
2019.
At
what
7 p.m.
It's
Wednesday.
It's on a Wednesday.
Wednesday 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Wednesday the 30th of January at 7 p.m. We go live.
And I just
for
find
the first
us on socials
at Big Moose.
At the FIFA Ramble.
I can't wait.
At the FIFA Ramble.
I can't wait.
The FIFA Ramble. Thank you very much for listening.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.